Country Mondays with David Katz.
Major David Katz, good morning. How are you? Morning, James.
Well, it's funny you should say that, actually, because I was thinking in an age of equal opportunities, it's time for a Jewish bond, something like Shmulik Bonstein or something.
Oh, can you imagine? License to kvetch. A Jewish office. James Bond, license to kvetch. Yeah, what?
That's great.
Can you only imagine anything worse than a Jewish James Bond? No, I don't think. You know what? We're good at other things. I don't think we'll ever be a good James Bond. So, who is your ultimate James? Who was your ultimate James Bond, or who has been thus far?
I don't want to be boring, but it's Roger Moore. I mean, there's no doubt about that. Sean Connery also. I mean, the two of them. The two of them are just the epitome of what James Bond should be all about, and a lot of the subsequent guys took themselves too seriously, and like you say, they were dogs, and it's the twist that I didn't enjoy.
Who needs that?
It's just it doesn't cut it. I mean, those two are just great. They were irreverent and self-deprecating, and all the total British James Bond. I mean, those guys were the epitome of what it should have been about.
Yeah, no, absolutely no doubt. Absolutely no doubt about that. There's no question. But speaking of James Bond and speaking of, sort of cool world leaders, Donald Trump is, standing on the eve of an election. Where are we? What are your thoughts around that?
Well, I'm betting against the flow, actually. Well, I don't understand why I'm betting against the flow. I think he's on the eve of his demise, actually. I mean,
I don't think you're betting against the flow. I think a lot of people think that.
Well, I do that because I know the guys that I've spoken to say, no, he's going to come back from a 10-point deficit and you can't believe in the polls and fake news and all that type of thing. I mean, we're now entering an era where we just can't believe anything anymore. So I actually believe the polls. I think he's got it against him, and I think that's going to be the end of him. But we're going to see on Wednesday morning exactly how it turns out.
But you hold I was just going to say you hold James Bond, you hold Donald Trump responsible for a lot of things going on in the world.
Well, absolutely. I mean, the one question we have to ask ourselves, Howard, is that before he came into office, where are we in this world? Before he came into office, and where are we now? Just from a military point of view, let's say from a geopolitical point of view. I mean, has the situation improved geopolitically under Donald Trump? Has the American military improved under Donald Trump? Have they been able to project their power? Have they receded? Are they more or less influential in the world? Have we seen the rise of new and more dangerous despots all over the world because the Americans have withdrawn into their corner under Donald Trump? These are all questions that have to be answered. And is the situation retrievable under any other administration? How long will it take for the United States to regain the world stature that it had a short while ago?
So do you think it's actually lost stature? You know, because when I look at the Middle East and I look at what's achieved there, when you start looking at places even like Sudan, has America actually lost stature, or is that just what the anti-Trump press want us to believe?
Well, okay, let me be a little bit of devil's advocate over here. I actually can't agree that Trump has done some positive things in the Middle East, but let's just put that aside for a moment, just be devil's advocate. When we start celebrating the fact that Sudan, which is just a non-entity country, now has formed, relations with Israel under a Trump administration, I don't know whether he's totally responsible for it. I mean, really, we're clutching at straws. The day Saudi Arabia turns around and makes peace with Israel, I think that's when we're going to have some inroads in the Middle East. But all these peripheral nations, that may be a starting point. But I mean, I think it's just too soon to to celebrate and say, Trump, you know, has solved the whole Middle East situation, just because he moved the embassy to Jerusalem, and he's the be-all and the end-all of Middle
no,
East.
No, yeah, so no, so I don't, I'm not holding any weight by moving the embassy to Jerusalem. I'm not even sure it was such a smart idea. I know that I'm meant to think that. It doesn't mean anything to me particularly. And I think it was dangerous. I think it was, it had potential ramifications. We did see it. People did die. But that aside, maybe it was important because he wanted to show that he will live up to his promises. So I get all of that. I don't consider that to be a success in terms of his Middle East policy. What I do consider a success is there's unquestionably been a shift towards peace and normalization with Israel, and following that, the Palestinians have been held to account more than they have in any prior administration.
Yes, I agree with you to a certain extent, but the Israelis have still got to wake up on Wednesday morning or Thursday morning, and they need to deal with the situation with the Palestinians. They have to deal with
absolutely
that situation.
I couldn't agree more with that.
And I wonder if we've moved anywhere closer to that. Yes, the relations have improved for Israel in the Middle East, and their position is slightly stronger. But the core problem there, I don't believe has been dealt with under the Trump administration. I think it's just been delayed, and the Israelis are going to have to deal with that. The Palestinians also are going to have to deal with that situation. And I don't know if Trump has really facilitated that process. The core problem in the Middle East, I don't know if he's facilitated that.
All right. So, interesting. I'd love your thoughts on that. Do you think that, internationally the world has improved or taken a step back with Donald Trump? One of the other things I read is that, there haven't been any new wars or conflicts in the last 4 years either under Trump.
Well, I mean, that's just patently incorrect. That's
is that
true.
Incorrect?
I mean, we're looking at
because
that,
we see that a lot in you know that allegation or that claim is made quite frequently.
No, that's absolutely nonsense. I mean, the first conventional war in a long time, in decades, it's just broken out between Armenia and Azerbaijan. That's going on right now. There's 5,000 deaths there. That's a serious situation. You've got Turkey intervening over there. You've got the Americans that have withdrawn from the situation. And they're allowing the Russians and the Iranians and the Turkish to be part of that whole peace settlement, whereas the United States would have been part of it in the past. So we can't say that. We can't say that the world is a more peaceful place because Donald Trump has reduced the American footprint, political footprint across the world. That's just patently untrue.
Okay. Talk to us about NATO.
Well, NATO is another one. I mean, NATO is a hell of an important alliance. It's been going for 70 years, and Donald Trump, there's two ways of looking at Donald Trump, I suppose. If you're his supporter, you'd call him a disruptor. If you're not his supporter, you'd call him a wrecking ball. And certainly he's applied that to NATO. NATO is in a much weaker situation than it was, before he was elected. He has done a hell of a lot to weaken that alliance, and it's an important bulwark against the Russians. And the NATO allies now are I'm sure holding their breath waiting for these election results, hoping for a Biden win so that they can restore some type of normality back into NATO.
But don't you think that a lot of these organizations were becoming more and more disadvantageous to the Americans? They were funding it. They were funding the Human Rights Council. They were funding things that had effectively been hijacked by anti-American sentiment in any event. I mean, my sense of it is that ahead of Trump, the Americans had a very apologetic international stance. They couldn't call things out for what it was. Their language was very under Obama. You couldn't use the word terrorism. You had to skirt around everything. Surely we in a place you know that my feeling towards Trump is somewhat ambivalent. I would hope that neither of them win, but that Biden loses. That's really my approach to this election. But when I look at what Trump has achieved, and I look at it in that way, there's at least I know who he is. We know he's a completely imperfect person, but we know what he stands for. Do you have any clue what Biden stands for? I certainly can't read the guy. I think that he is a very nasty piece of work, disguised with a very, very thin political veneer. And when you watch his debate and you watch his lashing out, calling Trump a clown and telling him to shut up, but all whilst trying to be very, very calm and evangelical almost, I distrust this guy immeasurably. I might not like Trump as a character, but I know what he is.
Well, look, I mean, it's interesting the way that you put it, and I just can't come to grips with that. I have to be honest with you. I mean, I just look at Trump as a human being and a person. I mean, is this somebody that you would entertain at the dinner table at your house?
No, definitely not.
He's absolutely rude, abrasive. He doesn't have any decorum. He doesn't have stature. He hasn't followed any of sort of the guidelines that have been set up over centuries on how a statesman should act. I mean, leave that aside for the moment. The question you're asking is that we know who Trump is. I mean, is that anything to go by? What a world leader should be like at the end of the day?
I think authenticity.
I think trust
and authenticity is important. I think that's where the Democrats have lost it along the way. Is we actually don't know who they are. There's so much double speak that I can't get a sense of it. I can't follow it. Carry on.
No, there's definitely on the Democratic side, there's been a shift to the left, and they've had to try and accommodate that shift to the left. And Biden's come up there, and he's walking a tightrope between sort of the left, the far left, and the centralists within his party. I mean, there's certainly that at the end of the day, and he has to tread carefully. And there's a worry now that the left may usurp the party and have undue influence on where the Democratic Party is going. But some of the words that you used to describe him, I don't know, I can't agree with that. I think the difference between the two, if we put all the other side, the personal stuff aside, the difference between the two is that Trump is taking America on an isolationist course, old isolationist course where America withdraws into itself and lessens its stature as the world policeman. And the Democrats stand for having influence in the world and trying to project American influence and democracy all over the world. That's the difference between the two. So whether you're an isolationist or an internationalist, it depends where you're going to find comfort within the American political system.
So what's interesting to me is that the Democrats would have accused accused the Republicans, and maybe sometimes justifiably, of waging wars and being involved in foreign wars that they shouldn't have been involved in. The flip side of that is the way you're calling it, the way you're putting it, is isolationist. Interestingly enough, again, what he's achieved in terms of peace in the Middle East, with a bunch of countries and hopefully more to follow, is more than any American president has achieved over the years. What do you think of his handling of Iran, for example?
Well, I don't think he's made inroads with Iran. I don't think he's done anything there. I think what we've seen under Trump in that area is the rise of Turkey, a very dangerous rise of Turkey, together with an alliance now between, there seems to be an alliance building between Iran and Turkey, and Turkey is projecting its influence all over the Middle East, into the Caucasus, and they're a future danger, much more so than Iran. And this has grown under Trump's leadership. Behind his back, unseen, we see Erdogan now, being a huge player in the Middle East, where Turkey 4 or 5 years ago was a non-player. In fact, it was a benign ally of Israel in those days. And we've seen a total turnaround, a very dangerous situation, actually, under Trump.
Although that did start already with the Marmara, it didn't start under Trump. It started before, the same as the Syrian situation. You know, I remember writing articles about Obama saying, you know, we have a red line, and that is the use of chemical warfare on its people. And then he crossed the red line, and then there was another red line, and then he wrote a strongly worded email, but not even that strong. So we haven't seen a particularly impressive foreign policy in this area. I'm not sure ever, but certainly as long as I can remember it.
Well, I mean, you talk about the Americans now. They've abdicated the position in Syria. Syria is now still run by Assad. It's under the influence of Russia. and Iran with Turkey on the peripheral there playing on the sidelines. America's abdicated its position in Syria to a large extent in Iraq. I mean, Iraq and Iran are forming trade ties and that type of thing. I don't know what the American presence was there for at the end of the day. Mm. If we have a look at that. So, you know, there's aspects. I mean, I don't think any administration can claim to have forged ahead on the foreign political front fantastically over the years. No, certainly America's made a lot of mistakes. But people would have it that Trump has solved the whole Middle Eastern situation and has withdrawn America from these peripheral wars that has cost it so much. And that's just patently untrue. Mm. It's patently untrue. I don't believe he's been successful with that. In fact, the troop withdrawals, I mean, have stalled under his regime. I mean, we haven't seen major troop withdrawals anywhere, except in important areas like Syria and that type of thing. But the American presence all over the world remains basically the same as it was under the Obama regime. In fact, Obama had more success in withdrawing American troops overseas. I think under his regime, there were 400,000 Americans serving overseas, and at the end of his regime, there were 200,000. So he halved the American presence overseas. I think he was more successful in that field.
34519 or 061-895-1019. Unfortunately, that is where we have to leave it. Major David Katz, thank you for your perspective. It's very, very important that we hear and get different types of thoughts. Jenny says, since when is being someone, people would like to invite it to a dinner table, a qualification for a president.